It is hard to believe that it has been 3 months since I started here. We were just talking about this. You know, it was back in February that I went into the church at the time I was at, auditorium, to pray like I sometimes do, and was overwhelmed with the feeling that I was supposed to reach out to my friend Steve Autry to see if I even qualified for this position. And it's been this incredible ride of watching how God just interacts with the people around you, how the Spirit leads to get us to this point. I remember getting to the interview part where I came and did my first sermon here. And afterwards, the love that I felt from all of you as I shook hands and tried to remember names, still try to remember names. But it was so overwhelming, the love that I felt. And I think the best thing that sums it up, and unfortunately she's not here right now, but Evie Bardwell, who I briefly had known at camp, and that was my only interaction to her, came up to me and said, "So when do you start?" To which I said, "Well, I don't make that call. You need to talk to one of your elders." And she turns around, sees Steve Autry, walks to him with an earshot of me and says, "So when are you hiring him?" But those moments of feeling that love. And the truth is, I have enjoyed these last 3 months. I have enjoyed the lunches, the coffees, the dinners. I've enjoyed getting to meet some of our huddle groups, our connect groups, the class discussions, the fellowship time, worshiping with you, getting to stand before you and preach and teach. I've enjoyed game nights, a fall festival. And the truth is, I'm already at that point that I can't wait for all the other things to come. I can't wait for a Christmas time, my first Christmas with y'all. I can't wait to see the new year and Easter. I've enjoyed it so much. I've enjoyed working with a great team. I never thought I'd be so blessed to be with elders and a staff that truly love God and the people around them. Of the creative teamwork that we have, of getting to just see how God is working in the church's life. I've enjoyed being at a place that I can continue to grow, because you have so much to teach me. Of sitting down and talking about the differences, things that I could work on, things that we could work on, the incredibleness of who God is and how he's working in the lives around us. It's been an incredible ride. And so really, the truth is, I love MX. Like, that's my title for today. I really just, Advent starts in 2 more weeks. I've invited Jeff McGlon to guest preach next week for me. And so I just had this one sermon, and I was talking with Don, I think back on his porch, back when it was a little warmer. And he was talking about, you know, just wanted to show you how I've seen you through my eyes. Of what these 3 months shown me of how amazing this church is. A church that I could truly fall in love with, not just in 3 months, but truly in just a few weeks. How incredible it has been. Like I said, the love that I felt from walking in the door. When we first came visited, we didn't even make it out of the parking lot before two people had already greeted us and said, are you the guy trying out? Yes, you can tell by the 4 extra kids we bring along. But it was the love that we felt walking in the doors and being greeted. Those moments of not just planned occurrences of dinners and lunches, but those unplanned moments in the foyer of jokes being shared, of the thankfulness, the gratitude, as Hannah put it. And so I do. I think the first thing I want to tell you is just how much I love this loving church. Seeing the love that you have for everyone that comes into this building. Not just the guy trying out for being the preacher, but for everyone who comes in through these doors. I love the fact that you can't have a visitor come through without someone coming up to them and saying, "Hi, my name is, how are you today? What brings you here? We are so glad you're here." And I challenge you, if you haven't been one of those people, join in. It is so much fun to just see these people as they light up, so thankful that someone is willing to give them a little bit of time and attention. Yes, I'm thankful for this church. The fact that we live this out, my favorite verse, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This has been my favorite verse for years. Because the truth is, we make living out church hard sometimes. And the truth is, it's this simple. It's just loving one another. If you want people to know Jesus, show love. And I think we're doing that. The second thing that has blown me away, and truly been one of my favorite things, is the diversity of this group. It makes me think of this verse here. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This church is made of so many amazing people. And I don't have the time to go through by name all the different people I have slowly met over the time and how many more people I still haven't met to get to learn their stories. I love that we're made up of different ethnics, different genders, of high and low end economics, that we are made up of people red and blue. Star Wars and Star Trek. I had to get away from the other one. No, but seriously, I think that's the most beautiful thing that we have. That's probably been the number one thing I have mentioned to everyone when they're like, because that's what, you know, you do when you ask someone, when you have nothing else to ask, you go, "What do you think about the church?" And so I've gotten that question 100 times from different people that I know. "Oh, so what do you think about the church? What do you think?" And I'm like, it is so cool. It is the most diverse, one of the most diverse churches I know. I can have a conversation with somebody one day and the very next day have a conversation that believes completely different than the other person I just talked to. And I'm sitting here going, I wonder if they know that. But I love that because that's what we're called to be as a church. A mosaic of different colors, of different views, not because we're supposed to have one view, but because there is one person that brings us all together despite everything else. And that's what I love about this church. And so I hope you know, anytime, feel free to come to me. I'm probably one of the best people to talk to because I'm a middle-of-the-road person. I love talking about all this stuff, and it doesn't matter what side of the fence you fall on, I can talk about it. I love these conversations. I love the fact that that means that we are a church that is ready to welcome anyone in because we come from so many places. And again, that when people see that we're a church that has everyone and still loves each other despite our differences, how much more that shows the love of Christ to the people who come through these doors. The next one is your generosity. I have been blown away by the generosity of this church. From the food pantry to the missions, to just simply the way you give of yourselves. It has been so profound to watch and know that my kids have an example of what it means to truly live out a life of generosity, not just financially, but of time. I've seen so many volunteers in so many different ways give of themselves. The fact that people are willing, when a problem arises, that it's not just this awkward pause until finally someone gives in and finally volunteers. No. When a problem arises, it's 5, 6, 7 people all jumping up saying, hey, how can I help? Like, I love hearing that and seeing that. The generosity of this church. It makes me think of 2 Corinthians 9, where it says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. I love that whether it's our regular giving or our kids running up to share their coins and throw them in as they race to the back, or our mini golf for missions, we're raising even more than the time and the time before that. I love that we have a generous church. And finally, the thing that I thought of is this, is I love that we're a church that thinks about the next generation. I know it's not a next gen Sunday, and a lot of our teenagers are gone. And we pray that they have a safe trip back from refuge today. But I love that we are a church that loves kids. And the truth is, I love that she's crying right now because I have been to churches where the preacher stopped and stared at the crying baby. I have seen churches where a preacher has gone up afterwards and said, hey, you know, you don't have to stay in during my sermon. Like, I could not believe that I have been to places like that. Listen, I would love it to get louder and louder. My ADHD might not be able to handle it, but I would love it because what that means is that we are a growing church. And I want anyone and everyone to know that they are welcome, no matter who's here. Because I want any child, whether just born or graduating, to understand that they're at a place that welcomes them where they are and who they are. That they are not just here to be seen. They're not just here to, well, sit and you'll have your moment. They're not here. No. That we see them as an active part of our church here and now. Honestly, that alone was probably my most favorite thing. And I already knew that about you because I got the special inside track of being a youth minister in the area. So I got to hang out with Nathan and other youth ministers over the years. So I knew the things that were going on here. And I actually remember being jealous of some of the things that y'all got to do that I was like, man, I wish I could get my church fired up about those things. And so getting to be here now and watch those and be a part of those and help dream even bigger of how can we be a part of that, because I want this church to live past us. I want it to be a part of a church that it's our grandchildren and great-grandchildren that are sitting in these pews when every other church is closing their doors, that we can be a church that has to figure out where we're putting everyone because the next generation keeps coming. And I say all this because I want you to, I hoped something I've said has sparked you to, reminded you maybe why you love this church. One of the things I thought of, one of those last minute things that you just, afterwards you go, man, that would have been great. So I'll have to do a part two sometime. Was I thought, man, I would love to have interviewed some of you. Maybe set up a place where we could video some of you hearing why you love this church. Because I'm sure you have even more reasons. Maybe it's the worship. Maybe it's the service or the missions. Maybe it's the conversations you get to have, the testimonies you've heard. I'm sure there's 100 reasons why people here love this church. But here's what I wanted to end with. Just to remind you of what we read just at the beginning of this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I'm not here to guilt anyone. But we live in a day and time where showing up for church can sometimes take the back burner. In our busy and crazy, chaotic lives, sometimes we take some time off from church. Honestly, I've always loved the joke, and I hold still to it, that one of the, I heard a preacher say this, and I'm totally stealing it from him. One of the reasons I believe God made me a preacher is to make sure I showed up every Sunday. Like, I truly believe that. I love sleep. I love sleeping in. It's one of my things. I would have definitely been a Saturday night person, have to find a church that does that, if it wasn't for the fact that I went into ministry. And the truth is, I don't want to guilt anyone. What I do want to do is instead remind you why it is so important and so wonderful to be in the presence of the church. Because the truth is, any of you could look up on YouTube today and find another preacher. Find a podcast that you love. You could find worship music that you listen to in the car or in your home, and that would be fine. You could look up classes and all this extra stuff, and you could do a lot of the things that we do on a Sunday morning any other time. But the one thing you can't do is feel the love of the room, to receive the love of the room, and give that love in return. A screen cannot do that for you. A time by yourself. Yes, you can feel the love of God, but to truly feel the love of God means to be in the community, to fully experience it. And so I remind you and challenge you, if not you, then help someone else remember that love they have of this community. Because we need each other. I was just talking about this. The one thing that has been so different transitioning for our family has probably been for Samuel. And I've shared this story a couple times, and I was purposely made sure he was gone before I shared this. When talking to the kids, you know, the girls jumped in. They loved the youth group. They did that. Me and Lydia kind of started finding our places. But the truth is, Samuel, we asked him one night, you know, how's he doing? And he says, well, there's only one thing I miss about Vaughn Hill. And that surprised me because, I mean, he's been happy-go-lucky, amazing. I was like, what do you miss? And he goes, I miss Wednesday nights. I'm like, really? Like, that's not the thing I thought I was going to hear. Why Wednesday nights? And he goes, I miss seeing my friends from church more than once a week. And then I realized, the more I thought about it, you know, that's true. Art Vaughn Hill, back in the day, had actually talked about getting rid of Wednesdays at one point, like many churches have done, and as we have here. And I was all for it. As a youth minister, I was going to do the same thing Nathan did. I was going to, hey, well, the teens will do Wednesday nights. It'll be great. But over the years, I started missing it. Not because we have to have Wednesday nights. The truth is, what I'm talking about can be Mondays, it can be Tuesdays, it could be Wednesdays. What I realized I wouldn't give up for the world is that I need time throughout the week to be reminded of the whole purpose of it all. To help you understand, let me read from you 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, I needed that reminder. I needed people to remind me that I'm the chosen people, that I am called out, that I'm called to be different. I needed that reminder that even working for a church, that day-to-day end of just having to get the job done, I noticed in me and my family and others that we needed that time of multiple times getting together. we needed a group of people that it wasn't just Sunday morning, but it was Sunday nights. It was Monday nights. It was Wednesdays. It was Fridays. Times where we got together with the church outside of these four walls and lived it out, because I can't do it without you. And the truth is, I don't think any of us can do it without each other. Because for us to be a chosen people means we are following a God who does things differently and says we've got to be in community. And that's why I love not just MX, but the church as a whole. That God gave us a way to do this, not alone and on our own, because the truth is, I can't do it on my own. But it's in my weakness that he makes me strong. It's that he takes a little bit of me, and a little bit of you, and a little bit of you, and he makes something that we never could have done on our own. And so I would invite the praise team back up. I have one more verse that I'd like to read that comes from Philippians, where Paul is giving thanks for the church there. And then I'd like to pray over you. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and of righteousness, that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.